It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning, this Monday morning edition. As you can hear, I'm not Sandy Rios. My name is Walker Wildman, and I'm sitting in guest hosting for Sandy Rios today and tomorrow. Sandy Rios in the Morning is the name of the show. I'm your guest host, Walker Wildman, and we are airing this show exclusively on the American Family Radio Network. So you can go to our website, afr.net, and not only can you listen live at our website, but you can also catch past shows. So today's show of Sandy Rios in the Morning will be posted on the podcast page later today. So a lot of great content, a lot of great content there on American Family Radio's website, afr.net. You can also, of course, follow Sandy Rios on Facebook, Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook. Go there and check it out. A lot of the news stories that you hear on the show are also posted on Sandy's Facebook page. A lot of content that we're going to talk about today, as usual, not really a slow news cycle much during the Trump administration. There's always something going on. And just to give you an overview, a couple things we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about these blue states, these Democrat-run states, and how they really just keep digging their own hole from various perspectives. You know, you have the lawlessness gripping various cities across the country. And if you look at who runs these cities, the vast majority of them are run by Democrats. But not only do you have lawlessness running rampant in these cities, but you also have big financial problems going on in these cities also. And so we'll talk about that, and we're really going to pose the question that I really don't know the answer to, but it's something to think about, and that is why do people keep doing and keep passing bad laws and bad ideas over and over again when the consequences, when the results are clearly negative, but they keep doing the same things over and over and over again. Another thing I want to talk about extensively is what's going on with Pastor John MacArthur's church over there in California, Grace Community Church. I want to talk about that and really talk about whether these courts have any say over what John MacArthur and his congregants, his church there in California, whether these judges have really any authority telling the church what they can or what they can't do. Another thing we're going to talk about is what's going on in Michigan, but not Michigan, really what's going on all across the country, where you have governors. Even in red states, conservative states, you have governors that are on month 7, going on month 8 of emergency powers. And we'll talk about whether that's even legal or not. How long is it a, quote, emergency? And then the last thing we'll talk about is ballot harvesting or cheat by mail, as others call it. We'll talk about the Democrat strategy to really sabotage the election. And they want to say President Trump's trying to sabotage the election. They're the ones trying to do vote by mail across the board. They want millions, really over 100 million people to vote by mail. And our postal service system can't even deliver an Amazon package on time. But we want to put our vote in their hands to make sure it gets to the ballot box, gets to the post office box on time to be counted. So we'll break that down and really tell you what's going on with the Postal Service here on Sandy Rios in the Morning. So jumping in to what's going on in New York City, one quick story. Each year on September 11th, the 9/11 Memorial has these two lights that represent the Twin Towers that stood and now still stand, rebuilt. Well, one of the towers, but it represents the two towers that were standing on 9/11. The two lights do, and so they, you know, the lights are mounted on the ground. They shine up, and you can see them from all across the city, and even outside the city, you can see them, the two lights. But the 9/11 Memorial announced last week that they were not going to be mounting the lights. They weren't going to have the memorial service. They weren't going to have, not only were they not going to have the lights so that people could see them and remember what happened on September 11th, 2001, but they're also, they said that we're not going to read the names of the victims. So the families can't go down to New York City, down to the memorial, and hear their family members' names read off, those who passed away on 9/11. And of course, there was some uproar over this decision. And here's why there was uproar. Well, number one, you shouldn't cancel it no matter what. It doesn't matter whether we're going through a upper respiratory virus or not. But secondly, is that New York City has been home the past few months to looting, rioting, some people want to call it protesting. And the Democrats in that city have had no problem with hundreds of thousands of people, with thousands of people marching in the streets, breaking into all the stores, doing whatever they want. Even Mayor Bill de Blasio went out and helped paint the words Black Lives Matter on a street in downtown New York City in Manhattan. And so the Democrats are just fine with messages, with memorials, with things getting out there, with people protesting, or half of it was protesting, the other half was anarchy. They're fine with that, but, well, the 9/11 Memorial, we shouldn't have that. We shouldn't have the 9/11 Memorial, so shame on them, and glad they got enough pushback to turn that around. That was a horrible decision, whoever made that. Speaking of these big cities like New York City, and many cities are dealing with this, but these cities, when I'm talking about these cities, I'm talking about New York City, I'm talking about Chicago, talking about Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, the list goes on and on and on. But these cities were already in financial troubles before this coronavirus thing came around. And now, the outlook on these cities is even worse than it was before, when the economy and everything was going along well. And you saw in New York, I saw a study last week, or it was a report, on how New York State has the worst economic outlook out of all 50 states. Moving forward, they have the worst economic outlook in all 50 states. And basically, I'm going to break this down for you on what's going on in these big cities. What's going on in these big cities and many of these Democrat-run states is their policies are horrible for business. Their policies are horrible for business. And so what happens is, and they're horrible for people who have money, who have earned themselves wealth, these cities and states that are run by Democrats, they raise taxes because they don't know how to spend money under budget. And so the Democrats continue to raise taxes, thinking that's going to solve their problems, but they continue to spend money like nobody's business. And so what happens? The wealthy people leave, and the businesses leave because they don't want to pay the insane tax rate. And then the revenue for the state or the city goes down because the wealthy people are leaving. That's how it works. When you punish wealth, wealth leaves. And so that's what's going on in states across the country. New York being one of the hardest hit states, New York City being one of the hardest hit cities. You have people, 300 residents leaving permanently New York City every day. And that's been going on for the past 6 months. So you do the numbers there on how many taxpayers are leaving New York City. The next topic I want to jump into is this mail-in voting. And I'm going to play clip one here. This is Attorney General Barr giving us a little taste of what he thinks about mass mail-in voting. Clip one, let's listen.
The idea of conducting elections by wholesale mail-in ballots is reckless and wrong. Everyone knows what has happened in these cases. We're not talking about voters going, requesting a ballot specifically, saying who they are, proving who they are, and then submitting a ballot by mail. We're talking about mail-outs to everyone on the voting list. And every experience with that has had thousands and thousands of ballots floating around, not just the state, but the country. I have friends who haven't lived in California in 21 years who received ballots. There are ballots left in boxes in apartment buildings. Ballots are for people who used to live at addresses or delivered to those addresses. They can be filled out by anybody. This is reckless, and it could create serious questions about the integrity of the election.
Well, there you have it. That is Attorney General William Barr talking about the recklessness of mass mail-in voting. And let me differentiate what we're talking about here. Let me explain what we're talking about. There's absentee voting, which every voter has to request an absentee ballot. They're not just mailed to you at random. So with absentee voting, you either call the courthouse, it depends on what state you're in, or you submit a form, or you go up to the courthouse in person, and you have to show your driver's license, sign some forms. But it's much more managed, and we've been doing it for years. And the checks and balances there are sufficient for the most part. But what the Democrats are talking about here, they're talking about mailing, preemptively mailing without voters even requesting it, preemptively mailing hundreds of thousands of ballots to voters all across each state and having each voter mail that in. That's what the Democrats are talking about. Democrats are wanting to eliminate in-person voting, basically, is what we're getting at here. They're wanting to eliminate in-person voting. And what's ironic is there were a group of demonstrators, that's a mild term, at the Postmaster General's home in Washington, D.C. this weekend. And get this, they were protesting, saying basically that we need mass mail-in voting across the country and we need the U.S. Postal Service to provide it or to accommodate it because we can't vote in person because that's dangerous. How dare we go vote in person even though we've done it through every world war, through the Great Depression, and every other crisis? But all of a sudden, we're a bunch of snowflakes and we can't go vote at the ballot box. Because we're going to get COVID. But here they are, a group of about 200, all gathered outside of the Postmaster General's house, rubbing shoulders together, probably all getting COVID. So we can protest, we can burn down the streets, but we can't go vote for who we want to run our country. Got to do it from the house, folks. Got to do it from the house. And by the way, you got to have church from the house, too. You can't go gather with other believers. We'll talk more about that later. Sandy Rios in the morning. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determine that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Brandon Lipps, Deputy Undersecretary for the USDA's Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services. His department oversees social services programs, including food stamps and child nutrition programs. Proverbs 22:9 reminds us of the importance of helping those in need. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Brandon Lipps as he works to provide food and nutrition services. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. There's no doubt that power-hungry lawmakers are taking advantage of the global pandemic. Governors, mayors, even local health departments have suspended many of our constitutional rights. But the health department in Valley County, Montana, may be the most egregious of them all. They sent a flyer to every business in the county the other day telling them not to serve any customers unless they had a pink wristband. That wristband was supposed to signify the person did not have the China virus. Businesses were instructed to call the police if customers did not comply. Now, the good news is there was quite a bit of blowback, so much so the county commission stepped in and rescinded the order. Good for them. There's a lesson here. Given the opportunity, there are some government officials in this country who would willingly take away your constitutional rights. Just ask the good people in Valley County, where Big Sky Country almost became Nazi Germany. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the show Sandy Rios in the morning. I'm not Sandy Rios, I'm guest hosting. My name is Walker Wildman. I'll be with you today and tomorrow on the show. American Family Radio is the network. You can always check out our website, AFR.net. You can also download the American Family Radio app on your smartphone or your tablet device. It's free. Just type in AFR, or you can type in American Family Radio in the App Store, and you can download the app there. Another way to stay connected, if you don't know, American Family Radio is a division of American Family Association, and American Family Association has various divisions and puts out a lot of great content each day, all from a Christian perspective. And let me just read the mission statement of American Family Association, and then I'll say one more thing, and then we'll get back into the stories. But the mission of American Family Association is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to transform American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in its calling to fulfill the Great Commission. The vision of American Family Association is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. All that's on our website at afa.net. But the reason I mention that is, number one, to remind you why we do what we do each day. But number two, there's a lot of great content at afa.net. So go there and check it out. American Family Association's website, afa.net. You can catch our blogs each day. You can subscribe to our action alerts. There's also great resources there, books, DVDs, things like that to help you be informed about what God's Word says, about how we should conduct ourselves in all aspects of life. So go to our website, afa.net. And it's important to know where you're getting your news and information from, because there's a lot of censorship, a lot of cutting off speech and content on the internet now with big tech, Facebook, YouTube, and others. They're not allowing a lot of trustworthy and true information to get out there. So make sure you know where you're getting your information from. And the best place to get information is directly from the source instead of going through these third parties like these social media platforms. Back to the topic that we ended on before the break about what the U.S. Postal Service is dealing with and whether we should vote in person or vote by mail. And let me just make this point. Look, the U.S. Postal Service has been in trouble for years now. I even heard a clip this weekend about former President Obama joking about how bad the Postal Service was when it comes to just doing basic duties, basic functions. And so this idea that all of a sudden President Trump has sabotaged the U.S. Postal Service is all a farce. It's a joke. The Postal Service has been in shambles, if you will, for years. It's been in horrible shape. I mean, ask anyone you know that's done anything with the Postal Service, whether it be getting a passport, trying to reserve a P.O. box, or just wanting to mail something. There's problems all across the board when it comes to the Postal Service. And one of the main reasons is because it is government run. Well, Walker, why does that matter? There's a lot of things that are government run. Yes, there are. And there's a lot of bad things that are government run. But the reason this is particularly having trouble and had trouble for years now is because there's literally no accountability. Because the post office, the employees of the post office, the managers, the directors, the supervisors, and even on up to the postmaster, they're going to get paid. They're literally going to get paid no matter what they do. They can accidentally lose three pieces of mail. They can not be there when they're supposed to be there, where you can get your passport, even though their hours on their website say 8 to 4. And they're not there because, well, they took a 3-hour lunch break. So they can do all this stuff, and there's really not much accountability. I mean, you can call your local congressman, but that's about it. And so anytime you have something that really is more of a private function in 2020, like delivering packages, anything like that run by government is not really going to be efficient. Just because they have funding, no matter how much quality their work is. But back to my point on this voting by mail. I'm going to play clip 6 here. This is James Clyburn out of South Carolina. He's a congressman, and he has the audacity to say that if anyone gets sick at the ballot box in person on November 3rd, that, well, President Trump is responsible for their illness. Clip 6, let's listen.
So you would blame him if people get sick and potentially die from the coronavirus by going to the polls and actually casting their ballot in person?
Absolutely. He's the one that's doing this. He and his postmaster general, they met several days ago before all of this stuff happened. We see them taking machines, sorting machines, out of the post offices, and I've received reports that they are moving post office boxes in some neighborhoods that I frequent. And so what are they doing this for, if it's not to gum up the works when it comes to this election? But they're also hurting people.
Well, there you have it. That's James Clyburn out of South Carolina. And the CNN host there says, she says, so you're telling me, or what you're saying is that if someone gets sick or someone dies because they get COVID from voting in person, that you're holding President Trump responsible. And he says, absolutely. He says, absolutely. And so really what we have here is we have voter intimidation on behalf of the Democrats. We have voter intimidation, voter suppression by the Democrats. They're wanting to suppress the in-person vote all across the country so that they can cheat by mail and steal the election. And news broke this weekend that Nancy Pelosi is having all lawmakers in the House of Representatives return to Washington, D.C. this week so that they can pass legislation to fix what's going on at the post office, at the Postal Service. And you notice how this works here is government messes something up, and instead of taking responsibility for it, instead, the Democrats want to convene and pass and spend more money to fix something. That's what they're wanting to do here. And it probably will pass, because many Republicans don't have a backbone. And by the way, what's going on at the U.S. Postal Service is not really... It's actually a good thing if you look at it through a conservative lens, because the Postmaster General, which was appointed by President Trump, is actually trying to clean up the Postal Service and trying to make it more efficient. And at a minimum, trying to make their budget break even. And as he's doing that, he's being attacked by the Democrats in Washington, D.C. So you can't fix something that the government runs. You can't make it run more efficient, because if you do so, then you're going to be opposed by everyone in Washington, D.C. Because how dare you want to make government more efficient? How dare you want to make government more efficient? I want to transition to, Devin, if you don't mind, write down the phone number for the next segment so I can tell listeners about that, about calling into the show. The topic I want to talk about now is what's going on in California at John MacArthur's church. Pastor John MacArthur, lead pastor for many years at Grace Community Church in California. And how this all started is the L.A. City Council, or the Los Angeles, basically the city government and health officials, they ordered no church services. They ordered no church services and pretty much no exemptions to that. And they... So Grace Community Church is what falls within that jurisdiction, and Pastor John MacArthur and his deacons, they met, and they decided that they were going to meet, regardless of what the city government said, or the county government said. And so they've been meeting the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. And they had to go to court over this, and they actually, I don't want to call it a win, because it wasn't a win, but they received a ruling at a lower court level, basically saying that their church doors could stay open. And shockingly, it had some caveats to it which were, in my opinion, unconstitutional, such as having to wear a face mask, having to social distance, and having to post the county health order on all of the entrances to the church, which, in my opinion, is there's no merit for that. There's no authority given to the court system to demand that. But nonetheless, that was the ruling as of late last week. But over the weekend, guess what happened? The California Court of Appeals issued a stay of the lower court's order, basically meaning that Grace Community Church cannot meet, according to the Los Angeles County health order. And guess what Pastor John MacArthur and Grace Community Church, along with thousands of congregants, did? They met Sunday morning. And what is going on over here in over there in California, and really this is happening all across the country, but I think people are waking up, Christians are waking up to the tyrannical orders that are going on across the country. And if you want to boil this down to what the Constitution says, which that's very important, there's two things here. There's the constitutional basis that Christians and people of all faiths should be able to gather and assemble and meet no matter the circumstance. And there is no authority in the Constitution or in the law or in any law that says that a judge, a court, or even a county health official or a mayor or a governor can intervene and prevent churches from gathering, just like you can't intervene and prevent people from gathering and protesting or having a redress of grievances. There's no authority to stop this type of First Amendment assembly. And so Pastor John MacArthur and Grace Community Church, they're continuing to meet. So kudos to them for doing that. And I would encourage all churches across the country to continue to meet in person because Scripture tells us to. And not only does Scripture tell us to, but our Constitution protects our rights. And if we don't take advantage of those rights, if we don't protect those rights and fight for them, then one day they just might be gone. And that was the test in California. John MacArthur had to make a decision. He and his deacons had to make a decision. Do we forfeit our First Amendment or do we not? Do we obey Caesar or do we obey God? And thankfully, they had some backbone and they are obeying God and they are assembling. So kudos to them for doing that. Another topic I want to talk about, or shifting gears, but similar topic, is what's going on in Michigan, and as I said earlier, all across the country, where you have these governors that are basically on month 7 of emergency powers. And for those who don't know, emergency powers are meant to be temporary. They're meant to be short-term, and they're meant for emergencies. And so what you have all across the country is you have pretty much governors acting as kings, as tyrants, and there's not much accountability. It's pretty much whatever the governor's office says is what we're going to do. And I think the solution to this government overreach, this overreach of the executive branch in various states, I think one thing that needs to be done is we need to put the power of lawmaking, of regulating, back into the hands of the legislature in each respective state. It's time that legislatures, that lawmakers, start passing laws that address our current situation, the coronavirus. And we need to take the power out of the hands of governors because they're abusing it. We don't need to look back in 6 months from now and be 13 months into the COVID-19 pandemic and we still have governors telling us we can't gather at church and we can't go to the grocery store. Or we can only one person from each family can go to the grocery store. We can't go to school. We can't do this. We can't do that. It's time we have lawmakers intervene to stop this tyranny. 888-589-8840 is the number to call in. 888-589-8840. Call in. We'll take your questions, your concerns. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
Do you have anything difficult in your life? Something that's facing you right now that is just too difficult for you? It may be impossible for you. It's not impossible for Him. And He wants to do a miracle in your life today.
Find real hope when you discover the power of Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
Exposing Washington reveals the deception that plagues our nation's capital.
The mainstream media refuses to tell the truth of what's really happening.
Exposing Washington brings clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C.
The American people must stay informed on what our government is doing.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman brings you the inside scoop of what's happening at our nation's capital.
We must take our country back.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. We live in a day when churches are filled with people ready to hear and receive God's mercy. Unfortunately, however, it is often accompanied by a de-emphasis or concealment of the truth of God's word. Paul, the salvation by grace through faith apostle, was asked, "If salvation is solely a product of grace, what benefit then does the law provide?" Paul responded, "Without the law, I wouldn't have known God's righteous standard and how far away from it I was." Any presentation of God's mercy absent God's truth is no gospel at all. Iniquity is purged by mercy and truth.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. According to the 14th Amendment, Kamala Harris is not constitutionally eligible to be vice president. An individual must be a natural-born citizen to be qualified, and she is not. Although she was born in the United States, neither of her parents were U.S. citizens when she was. This means they and their daughter Kamala, in the language of the Constitution, were ultimately subject to the jurisdiction of their native countries of Jamaica and India rather than the U.S. To be a natural-born citizen, you not only must be born here, you must be subject to the jurisdiction of the U.S. when you are. Kamala Harris wasn't. Nothing will happen. We long ago gave up following the Constitution when it's inconvenient, but maybe it's time we started following the whole thing, not just the parts we happen to like.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Most Americans have been praying for a cure to the Chinese Communist Party virus. Such a prospect turns out to be horrifying, however, if you are a deep state bureaucrat, someone invested in open-ended and lucrative research into unpromising medicines or vaccines, and or a political opponent of President Trump. Hence, the vehemently hostile response of a leftist publication called Axios to information about oleandrin, a natural supplement that has proven in clinical experiments and limited human trials in Texas to crush the CCP virus. Rather than celebrate this development and call for an urgent effort to validate such findings with widespread life-saving trials, Axios touted the uninformed criticisms of naysayers determined to snuff further work on this apparent breakthrough. The product known as Ceratavir appears to be an answer to our nation's prayers. Let's confirm that it works and get our America back. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. The number to call in is 888-589-8840. Let's keep the topics of your calls limited to what we've talked about on the show today. We talked about the 9/11 Memorial, Lighting Memorial being reinstated after the radical Democrats tried to do away with it. We talked about America's big cities, how they're struggling to even make ends meet. We also talked about California being a part of that group. We talked extensively the last few minutes about Pastor John MacArthur's church and how governors across the country have really been exceeding their emergency powers by issuing edict after edict going on, or we're in the seventh month now of these edicts without the legislature intervening and doing any kind of laws to address the issues that we're facing. One topic I want to talk about before we jump to the phones, and by the way, you can call in once again, 888-589-8840. Call in. We'll be glad to take your questions. One clip I want to play, this is Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law and also a White House advisor, and he was on with Brett Baier, which Brett Baier on Fox News, he's all right. I don't think he's a lefty. But Fox News has been running these polls. They've been paying to have these polls done on the general election, and all of them say, well, guess what? Biden's going to win. Biden's going to win by 6 points. He's going to win by 8. He's going to win by 10. And they've been pushing out these polls over and over again. Well, here's Jared Kushner reminding Brett Baier of how wrong they were in 2016 on the polling. Clip 4, let's listen.
So we've spoken about the methodology of the Fox polls, and we saw in the last election out of 120 polls conducted in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania between Labor Day and the election, out of 120, only one showed President Trump ahead. So these polls are based off of flawed methodology. Our polls basically show that the president is leading in a lot of the states that he won last time. And we were just in Ohio, and our team, the president won Ohio by 8.5 points. He believes he's going to win by more this time. And if you go state by state, and you look at real voter turnout models, you look at the enthusiasm, we're seeing very, very encouraging signs on the ground. And we think the people of this country love what President Trump's doing, and they want to see him back in office for 4 more years so that he can continue to rebuild the economy and finish the job that he started.
Yeah, just to be clear, when you say flawed, you'd like to see likely voters, not registered voters. You'd like to see the sample that matches how you see the election shaping up. But if you look at the Real Clear Politics average, Joe Biden is up 7.5 points. It's an average of recent polls across the board, and the average of battlegrounds, you can see Biden with the lead. I get that you don't like polls at this point, and you likely.
No, but Brett, what I would just say is, look, on Election Day last year, everyone thought it was going to be a landslide. I was looking at our data, and our data showed that Trump was going to win in a landslide. A lot of those polls are using a 24% Republican turnout model, but in 2018 and 2016, it was 33%. So I don't know why the companies are spending money on these polls, because it's not scientific, and it's not indicative of what's actually going to happen. But okay, That's another story.
Yeah.
Well, imagine that. The companies keep paying for polls that they know are inaccurate. That's what's been going on. That's what happened in 2016, because everyone goes, well, how did all these polls get it wrong? Because aren't these people experts in polling? Yeah, they're experts in pushing an agenda utilizing their polls. And the agenda is, they say that Joe Biden's going to win, or they say Hillary Clinton's going to win. And the key thing I want to point out there is, in 2016, only one of 120 polls pushed out by Fox News showed Trump winning by the margin that he actually won by. And so that's like 99.994 maybe percentage of how wrong Fox News got it with their polls. And you would think that they would learn from 2016 and try to correct, but no, they're still running the same formulas. And the formulas that they're running, the pollsters, shows a roughly 25% voter turnout, Republican voter turnout. What actually happened in 2016 was 33% of voters were Republican. That's a 9-point difference. And that's why the polls seem to get it wrong every single time. We're going to go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Janice in Texas. Janice, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Well, hello, good morning. And yeah, I wanted to comment on, well, originally one thing, but a couple of them, if you don't mind. But you were talking about the post office and the inefficiency. And I had a really just annoying experience with that over the last couple of years. I can divulge this information if I choose to, but I go to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and there was this person I knew that had been locked up, and, you know, God's word says when I was sick and in prison, you visited me. So I was sending letters to this person, and they so looked forward to that.
while they're locked up. You know, that's an encouragement. Mm-hmm. I had these letters, and a couple of times I would have that letter in the mailbox, and I would, and 4 or 5 business days would go by, and they wouldn't pick it up. And I finally stopped the postman guy, you know, and he said, well, I didn't work 3 of those days. And I go, well, yeah, but a couple of them you did. You know, it's just y'all keep passing up this mail. And finally I went down to the post office to complain to his supervisor. And I stood in line for a really long time, got to talk to their guy. And he told me, he goes, well, you know, they aren't required to pick up that mail. I said, what? I mean, what do they do? Just get in the truck and drive around all day? I mean, they just say, well, I don't feel like picking up the mail today. I'm just going to drive around. And that's just crazy. So the other thing I was thinking about the church is I went to a protest downtown here in Houston when one of the judges, Hidalgo, had issued a mandate for social distancing and masks. And there was protests. They had a lawyer, a doctor, that were fighting these things down there. And anyway, I met they had a pastor who never closed his church.
Yeah.
And I ended up going to his church.
Good.
Until
Excellent.
Mine opened back up. You know, I was so glad to see someone had some,
Amen.
Some standards. Yeah.
That's good. Hey, thanks, Janice. Appreciate the call. Glad you called in. We'll go to Jimmy in Mississippi. Jimmy, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Yes. I feel like it's time the people and the true churches stand up and stop letting this government take over and stick with our Constitution. And the Democrats are using this mail-in voting because they're scared to death. They know they're not going to beat Trump. I mean, it's fraud. They know it's fraud. Everybody does. They need to get their heads out of their rear ends and get
All
out
right.
and vote and start standing up.
All right, Jimmy. Appreciate the call. We know how Jimmy feels there. You need to stand up. And, you know, I get a lot of questions about, you know, what can I do? I'm just one person. I'm just one vote. I'm just one citizen. And you would be surprised at the effect that a phone call into, whether it be your mayor's office, a phone call to your city council person, a phone call down to your state capitol, a phone call to the governor's office, emails, letters, phone calls are by far the most effective. But you know, if we have thousands of people in each state calling their governor, calling their mayor, and letting their voice be heard, and letting their perspective be heard on what's going on in our country, that actually has more of an effect than you think. And of course, showing up to vote each election is very important also, and not just vote for your senator, your U.S. senator, or your congressperson, or your president, but voting for down to the local level, voting for your mayor, for your city council, voting for your school board, all these positions are very, very important when it comes to the future of our country. So be involved at every level of society and let your voice be heard there. We'll go to Indiana and talk to Pam. Pam, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, Walker.
Sure.
I called in because I just retired from the USPS, Postal Service, as a letter carrier. And I had 13 years in there, and I retired because it's a very, extremely stressful job. I have a husband that still works there. He's got 47 years in. We really care about United States Postal Service and the job that we do for our customers every day. I do feel like we are a very trustworthy organization. I don't believe we are run by the federal government, but we are governed by them since we're a federal agency. You know, we were kind of upset when we heard you talking about us because we do feel like we get a route and we try to do a good job for our customers every day.
Sure.
And to be as accurate as possible. But I also feel like the way we are run,
We are very short-staffed. We have trouble. They've moved our start times back in the morning from what used to be 6:30 and 7, and now my husband is not going in until 9 a.m. because they can't get the packages to us. Our packages are so overwhelming. And the United States Postal Service really wasn't set up to deliver all the packages that we get today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good,
especially since
that's a good point.
Due to COVID,
right.
Our packages really have tripled.
Right.
And so my husband actually now is working 12-hour days because we don't have enough carriers.
Right.
We don't have enough clerks. Very understaffed.
Sure.
As far as the machines, I believe is a lot of propaganda. I've been talking about machines being moved out of the post office because that happened. We actually work in Kokomo, Indiana, and our machines were moved out 6 or 7 years ago. Nothing is being moved at this time.
Yeah.
They were moved out because they were trying to put processing the mail in just more main locations instead of in every city, which did slow down the mail because you could mail a letter.
So Pam,
one evening and get it the next.
Yeah, Pam, I'm not going after postal workers. There's a lot of Americans, probably a lot
that.
Of our listeners that work for the post office. So I know some of them actually. I'm talking about the system, how it works, whether it's functioning at its best. Would you trust 180 million Americans sending their ballots in via the U.S. Postal Service?
No, I would not. I would not. And not that I wouldn't trust the postal system, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't think you understand how things work as far as letters go. If you have a carrier that's on a route and has been on a route, like I just retired, but the route I had for 3.5 years, and I knew everybody on that route.
Right.
So the day I deliver, okay, nobody gets the wrong mail. And I don't mean I don't make any mistakes at all. I'm just saying I know every name and I look at every name, so they're going to get their mail.
Sure.
If you have a sub, say I'm sick that day, you have a sub that comes out there, whatever mail they have is going to go in that box.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what name is on it.
Right.
Because we would rather you give us back a piece of mail than not give you something that is yours if we don't know you,
if we
don't know who lives there.
Right.
So,
all right, Pam,
and that's where it's going to get messed up.
Yeah.
When a sub or someone else is on that route and you don't know. And yes, I believe there would be voter fraud.
Yeah.
I do believe ballots could be harvested or taken. I do believe that, but not as a general rule.
Right. All right. Hey, thanks for calling in, Pam. I appreciate it. And look, you know, there was a study done. This was in Philadelphia, and I'll end the show on this, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where a local news service sent in 100 ballots. They were, of course, false ballots. It was just a test. But after 4 days, 21% of those ballots were nowhere to be found. After 4 days in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 21% of the 100 ballots did not show up at the local P.O. box. And the reporter running the test actually had trouble getting any of the ballots. He had to ask for a manager to then find a couple hundred of the 100 ballots in a closet in the back of the post office that had been sitting back there for days. And so to act like our postal service doesn't have a problem would be denying reality. Sandy Rios in the morning. Check out our website, afr.net. We'll be back tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.